And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. Bohemians are back again this Friday. Unfortunately, not with a bang, more of a bust in the last few weeks, but I am delighted to be joined by Mario. How are you getting on, Mario?
Yeah, good mate. Thanks very much for having me on.
It's your third appearance now. I think it's the hat trick.
It's the hat trick, yeah. It's probably the only hat
Before we
trick
kick
I've
off,
got.
Before we kick off, like once again, thank the sponsor, McMover's Moving for You, Dublin's most trusted number one moving service. If you need to get anything moved there, if it's commercial property, and I'll get you in contact with them. Mario, you've been a bit moved yourself. You probably could have done what Emmett to give you a dig up. You've relocated up a part of down, haven't you?
Yeah, just moved up the M1 there. Yeah, about 6 months ago now. So yeah, we love it so far. It's kind of was traveling a good bit up and down between Dublin, the south, and up here to Portadown. So made the most sense working remotely as well, you know.
Yeah, and how he's getting on. Now the league is coming to an end up there.
Yeah, just coming to an end now. Just missed out on the seventh spot for the top for the European playoffs. So look, the aim of the club was to stabilize and make sure we stayed in the division again. Obviously there's a lot of investment, a lot of money going around the league up there now. It's harder and harder to compete with the full-time teams. We're still a part-time team ourselves. So yeah, look, really, really good to be safe and steering clear of danger pretty much the entire season. We were never really in a dogfight at the wrong end. So all credit to all the staff, all the players, all the board. To be home and hose with a couple of three or four games to go, I think we secured safety. So now it's about kind of kicking on to planning for the next level and trying to crack into that top six.
Yeah, big jump up there, and there's now different wages in between the top clubs and bottom clubs, like Linfield and Armstrong, money up.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, there's been no secret. There's been significant amount of investment in Coleraine and Larne, Glentoran, even Cliftonville and Glenavon now recently been taken over by North American or Canadian investment firms. So, so I think there's six of the top of the 12 clubs now are full-time professional. There's a couple hybrid, which is three or 4 days a week. And then there's a few like ourselves who are Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So it's harder and harder to compete with the full-time lads. You know, our lads are going to midweek games, having worked 8 or 9 hours, some on a building site or some in the gym, and then they're
Yeah.
going out against lads who've probably been in a nice bath or getting rubs and relaxing all day in preparation. So, you know, we've done incredibly well this season. So, it's now time to try and see if we can kick on again for next season.
Yeah, absolutely. And a club who are both hoping we're going to kick on the season, our beloved Bohemians. Maybe a bit of a false prophet at the start of the season. I'm not sure. You know, you have a bit more of a certainly more coach's head than I do, but we played Sligo on Friday, and I don't know. I think this result has been coming in the last few weeks. I think we were all probably trying to stay in a bit of a positivity, in a state of positivity. Although I think we could all see the writing was on the wall. No win in five now. We've only got 3 goals in those 5 games. I'm not saying that the defence has become leaky, but it's certainly not. It's lost its invincibility as such. What did you make of Friday's affair?
I thought we started the game really, really well on the front foot, like you'd expect. Obviously, in circumstances like it was obviously horrible conditions to play in. The wind blowing a gale. We obviously won the toss, I'd imagine, and decided to play with the wind, which you always do in case it changes at any moment. And I thought we were really good on the front foot, probing. Diallo looked really good. He was playing quite deep, getting on it, making us tick. Again, a player I was really, really excited about when he signed. I thought he was superb for Derry last year, and I know he's had his fair share of criticism so far, but he's missed pretty much his entire pre-season. And for any footballer of any level to miss pre-season is huge. You're chasing your fitness for weeks, and you know, I've no doubt he will come good. He showed his glimpses of quality. Once we got the goal, I just thought we could have. I thought we dropped off a little bit. We took the foot off the gas. We had a couple of chances. The intensity dropped. The tempo of the ball being moved dropped. It was a little bit laboured. And to be fair to Sligo and John Russell, it's not the first time he's come up and done a job on us in Dalymount. And he made a couple of tweaks and changes. And they started to play a little bit higher. They were kind of sitting in the low block, happy to be in the two banks of five and let us try and break them down. He made a change, obviously, to stop Diallo getting on it. They started to squeeze us a little bit higher up the pitch, and they started to cause us problems. We weren't moving the ball quick enough. There wasn't the same intensity there'd been. And then in those kind of conditions, you're always liable to, like we've seen, no real threats. And then a ball looped in from wide. Again, I know people were critical of Casper, but the wind blowing a gale there, he probably thought it was coming right into his hands and the wind catches it. So you don't know. I'm trying to think like a player and as a fan at the same time here. But and then straight away, you know, here we go again. It's 1-1. So, yeah, I thought Sligo probably were fully deserving, if we're honest, of at least the win. I thought they were very good once they made the tactical changes and started to play more on the front foot and squeeze us a little bit more. We didn't really react ourselves.
Yeah, from a view that I've seen, I've been on block A and you're kind of in line with, you know, the 6-yard box. One thing I don't think we've been doing is I don't see any midfielder breaking the lines of that defence to run it behind. I feel everything's defeat. Everything has to be in front of us. I include Coddy Whelan and that. I know you have your number 9, you want to hold it up. I'd never at one stage seen anyone break that line in behind when we know we've got the ball outside their box and we're walking around, we're trying to find angles, we're trying to find space. But to me, it looked like everyone wants to come short to try and make something happen where no one's willing to take that gamble.
Yeah, it's kind of, you're bang on the money there in terms of from a culture and a football standpoint. The most important thing when there is a team sitting in front of you is that you do move the ball at a real good tempo and at a pace, so you can pull them apart and really move it with a purpose. Also, your movement off the ball, disguised selfish runs like you're talking about last year, you know, and Rossi's famous for getting in beyond, even going back to when Georgie Kelly was up there, the amount of goals and assists he got in that season where he was just breaking lines, running in behind. And what that does is it's sometimes called selfish running. You make the runs knowing you mightn't get the ball, but you're creating space for somebody else. And I thought you were bang on the money. It was all a little bit in front, and then we run out of ideas. We might put a ball in, we don't hit the first man. It's a bit of panic mode then. But just to go back to your point, I kind of think it was all over really in terms of playing sideways or backwards or nicely and in front of them and slowly. Like in the 22nd minute, I was taking notes the other night and you're looking stamped hard. We made one or two passes and he stepped in at pace. And played a great ball straight through the lines into Rossi's feet. We got turned one ball out to Myers then because they had been pulled apart. He flashed a great ball across. We nearly scored for it. But again, it's just the intensity and the purpose and the movement. If you're playing side to side and in front, they can move slowly across in their shape, in their blocks, get across. No gaps appear. Everyone knows the job. They're really regimented and Sligo aware. They were superb at that in terms of their organisation. So what you need then, as he said, is you need runners, you need movement, and you need the ball to be moved quicker. And particularly from the back up, I think at times we can be guilty of maybe overplaying. You know, the extra pass when we can see Diallo or we have Rossi or we have Dawson or someone standing in between the lines where you want to break that line, get through it, get turned on the half-turn, play forward again or out wide, that we tend to go sideways and sideways. And what that does is it gives the opposition a little bit more time to squeeze up and squeeze up and squeeze up. And eventually you go back to Casper and then we kick it long anyway.
I think that's one thing. I think those fans fit to strangle players in between the 80th minute or the 85th anyway and the 97th whenever they did blow up. Because it was just, you know, many times did we go side to side when they could have just put it into the box into the first time. It's like there was no ownership, there was no bollocks, there was nobody saying here take the accountability with all. Like more times than not was Sam Todd who was putting the ball into the box, which is probably you probably watch a fullback putting it in from some sort of an angle, but look like a time and time after it was Sam Todd doing it. And I don't know, I think it lacked a bit of leadership to me on the pitch when it came to, you know, the ball has to get in there at some stage.
Yeah, and I think a good point, if you're like watching the game on Friday, like the very last action of the game, Dougie did really well. He held the ball up, came in deep, got it to feet, got torn, spread a great ball out wide to Keane Bourne. We had Pat Hickey, we had the box loaded. You're saying, put it in, 10 seconds, just get it in, try and get something from it. And he checked back and went back to Todd. And then Todd got pressed, and then we end up trying to force it into the box, and it gets blocked, and then nothing happened. It was the same, I think, the last kick of the game, 98 minute with Flores. He was on the ball, every ball was playing in the box, and he went right out to Keane Bourne, who was under pressure, tried to put it in, didn't beat the first man, ref blows the full-time whistle. So, yes, you're right, and again, it's kind of, as he said, I'm sure the lads are feeling that kind of pressure and that panic at home. The crowd are restless, they're anxious, they know the way they want to play, which is possession-based, trying to push and pull them apart until they can spot an opening and a gap to penetrate. But I always say it, like, there's a reason in games, and all around the world, it doesn't matter what level, If you're losing a game of 5 minutes to go, what is the team going to do? They'll put the big men up front and say, get the ball in the box. And the reason you say that is because you, 9 times out of 10, you'll create something or get a goal. So I don't know why, and that's not just Bohemians, that's across the board. I don't know why teams in general would overcomplicate it. If you're chasing a game or you're a goal behind, I need a goal where you don't get the ball in the box more, especially with Sligo, like Barron, Waterford, they had the leakiest defence in the league going into Friday. So, you know, and I know they were missing one or two. So get balls in the box, get in around them, wind blowing a gale. You flash a ball across that box and the defender sticks his leg out, misjudges it, slides off him, can go anywhere. So I would be very inclined to agree with you that I think that's been one frustration probably as a fan, that we play some excellent, excellent football and we get into great positions and great areas. And for whatever reason, we'll decide to recycle, check back, and the opportunity's gone. So, yeah, definitely something that we've seen.
I know we were losing the game and it was a bit of caution to the wind. And I know the gale was probably a bit of the second half, but I thought it was a bad sign. I thought it was real desperation that we threw Hickey on up top that early. Like, it wasn't 5 minutes ago and get the big man up. It was like just 20-odd minutes ago here. And it was resorted to this at this stage of the game. I know he's played there in that position and that, but to me it just felt like from a fan point of view, this looks a bit desperate, a bit too early.
It is and it isn't, like, you know, Collie Whelan, I think he has to play up in a two. I think personally, I think holding it up at his back to play isn't his strongest point as a player. When he does it, he can be very good, but generally it's not his game. He's good off the shoulder, he finds good areas, and we know how brilliant the finisher he is when he gets the opportunities. Problem is, as a striker myself, when you're dropping in, you're playing with your back to goal. A lot of the time your work is done outside or around the box rather than in and around where you want to be. Which further alludes to your first point around having runners off him. When he's coming into feet and he's dragging a centre half in with him, that when he sets that, the next ball is in for the third man running in behind. And as you said, that seems to have gone away. If I've been at the last four games, and I didn't go on Friday, I watched it on the telly. But that's been probably the one thing that's been lacking since in the last five games where we've been drawn, is I just think overall the intensity and the speed of our play and the energy has just dipped off. And that's only natural. Like, you go back to the Rovers game, it was the most complete performance we've probably seen from a Bohemians team in a long while. And you get off purely on adrenaline in those big derby games. But we were to a man superb that night, up until the last, obviously, 2 minutes when they got the couple of goals back. But it was in Drogheda as well. It was very similar to what you're saying. It was a little bit slow. Ball speed was slow. The intensity was slow. They seemed to pick up a lot of second, third balls. It was the same with Sligo the other night. I thought they were picking up an awful lot of the breaking balls or second or third balls on both sides of it in terms of our clearances and theirs. And I don't know, maybe if it's like Bucco or kind of a bit of steel in the middle or someone in the group that knows how to manage games and get up by the scruff and kind of drive us on and be that kind of nasty bit of steel in the middle. I think that's the similar with what's happening with Shelbourne at the moment, losing Lunny's been injured for a while, and then Mark Coyle leaving, like that bit of steel, the bit of grit in there that kind of holds them together, you know.
Yeah, I suppose we're looking for people to step up. I think the boy is a bit of a leader. He is only 24, so you probably can't really expect him to be proper dragging a full team over the line, and he was obviously absent Friday. I think we missed him usually, as you'd expect. But I think we probably hoped that maybe the team could show something without the boy, and maybe show that, you know, it's not 100% the one man team. And look, it obviously isn't, but he was a massive factor. I know we have him back on Friday, but what did you notice about him?
Yeah, look, it's been no secret. He's absolutely superb. He's been unbelievable. I absolutely love everything about him. He epitomises everything you want in the football. Even last year, the amount of ball recoveries, the work rate, the dirty side of it that you wouldn't normally associate with him, as you said, he seems to have stepped up and been a real leader. But then the other side of it is, you cannot rely on one person as well. You know, you need others stepping up with him. You know, I noticed that in the draw of the game, they probably tried to mark him as much as possible or quieten him as much as possible. And you do notice when he's not in the game, we're not in the game, really, to be honest, of late. But as you said, it's an awful lot of kind of pressure to be putting on him to, you need to make us play, you need to get us sorted, you need to, you know, everyone else has to dig in around him and everyone else has to get on board. And he was certainly a big miss on Friday. But yeah, that's, as you said, that was an opportunity for somebody else to come into the team and take the jersey, or take a claim as to, look, I'm here as well, I want to be in the team going forward. And the other side of it is, people forget footballers at League of Ireland or any level of humans as well. Like, they're not going to be 9 out of 10 every single week. If they were, they'd be at Real Madrid and they wouldn't be at Bohemians. You know, they are going to have dips in form. They've personal lives, they've relationships, they've their own things outside of football that can all alter into your current state of form. And we just really need lads to step up around them and not so, be so heavily reliant on the brilliant footballer that he is.
Yeah, I know Douglas James said or made a return. I don't know how long is he going to be out for now after his last few minutes is probably the question on all our minds. But I don't know. Where do we see the goals coming from going forward in this team? But what would you change from a coaching perspective to maybe get this going again?
Jesus, from a culture perspective, I'm not sure. The one big loss, obviously, is the loss of Dale Rooney, I think. I think he's been a huge loss. And then with that, the kind of form of the other wingers in the club, like, obviously we know that Rossi's been played off the left. I prefer him centrally in that 10, playing closer to the box and around the striker. I know when he comes in off the left and links up, it's great, but I like him in the 10. But Parsons hasn't hit the form, really. Myers has shown glimpses, but again, really, really young player, new to senior football. So you're going to get inconsistency with young players he's finding his feet. But I was in Talca Park in the Shelburne game, he was absolutely electrifying and he took his goal brilliantly the other night. So hopefully getting the first goal is going to give him a bit of confidence as well. I think Colin Whelan, as we said, you've hit it brilliantly. I think Dougie coming back will help him because he's not carrying that burden of, I need to score goals. Because you can almost look at Colin Whelan in games and you think he's nearly trying to do too much, or he's trying too hard. And I get it, you know, I completely understand it. But as you said, we need other areas of the pitch to chip in. One thing that probably stood out for me, even that night in Talca Park and in subsequent games since, when we play in terms of our shape, our wingers tend to come and invert, they come inside. They come inside and play more narrow to allow, when we're building up and we're playing into their half, loads of times I've seen it with power, he's just reluctant to make that run forward where they come inside, you create the overload on the right side, there's 30 yards space to drive into, and he'll hold back and stay hanging just around outside the halfway line. And the more numbers you can get in those areas and pin them back, work 2v1s, get balls into the box, the better. That's where you're going to get chances from. Because like the last 10 minutes on Friday night, Power got higher up the pitch and nearly played like a winger, if you remember. And he had a couple of step-overs. He put 4 or 5 unbelievable balls across and looked a real threat. So he has it in the locker. But with fullbacks, sometimes, obviously, you can be thinking more what's behind you rather than what's ahead of you. And I think he's been an unbelievable signer, by the way. In no way, shape or form, criticising the chap. I would just like to see him exploit that space a little bit more. And I think that if you watch it and the game's back, the wingers will come inside, play inverted, nice and narrow, to create those channels for fullbacks or wingbacks to get forward. Mullen does it well on the other side, but Power has a little bit more quality, I think, in him in the final third to really exploit and get him higher up the pitch.
Yeah, I know it's very possession-based, and you know, how many times you see Conor Parsons check back, cut in and hit the force man every single time. I don't know, for me personally, I'd probably like to say maybe, it's clearly not working on the wings at the minute to me, what I've seen. I wouldn't meet against turn those inverted wingers into out wide wingers, get down the line and get the ball into the box, rather than seeing this cutback stuff, because it just seems a bit, to me, when we're playing against Tim McSligo, it all seems a bit congested around the middle. And you deal Myers, to me, coming inside, he's running into brick walls basically to get a pass out to the boy. And obviously, that's where your space is made for your fullback. But as you said, the fullbacks aren't getting down the line, they're not doing it.
Yeah, 100% agree. And again, like you've kind of answered your own question there, Jordan, like in the sense that I noticed it more so in Talca, the amount of times where Myers cut inside and came narrow and the fullback went right in with him, and you're literally looking right to the end line, 20, 30 yards of space where Power could go and join in. And that's what you want. You want those 2v1 situations. You want fullback getting dragged out, leaving Myers then free in the middle, or having to go out to Power, you work at 2v1, you get balls in the box. That is how we ideally look like we are setting up to play, possession-based. Wingers will come in and invert. You create space down the channels. Wingbacks get higher. They get balls into the box. You have bodies in the central areas to capitalise. But when they're not going forward, you're 100% right. When they aren't joining in, they're just staying back. Then you just have a congested area all around the box with no one in either flank. And it's very easy to defend from a Sligo standpoint because you can get all the bodies between the goal and the man. Or, sorry, the goal and the ball. So, So yeah, I completely agree, and that's kind of where to answer your question is by getting both wing backs higher in those situations, because typically Hickey and Todd will be there. More than likely, 99% of the teams in the league will play one up front, so you'll have a 2v1 at the back anyway. So you can afford to let your wing back go and join in the attack. And the more bodies you have in the attacking third, the more likely are something's going to happen, you know.
Yeah, and you can probably trust your two centre backs to be left on their own as well, like in a 2-on-2 like situation. Like, if there's been one partnership over the past the last 15, 20 years, you'd probably say, you know, Hickey and Todd are as good as that. And, you know, you fancy them in a 1-on-1 race, you fancy them to help most of the striker. But
100%.
I think we need to be a bit braver. I think that's the bottom line of it. I think the players have to be individually braver, more so than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, confidence is a big thing. And obviously the couple of drop points would start to play in your mind, and having 1-on-5 now, that will also play in their mind. And, you know, they feel like the crowd on their back a little bit more, and everything starts to, when one thing goes, another thing follows. And then all of a sudden you feel like it's doom and gloom, and it's not, we're in a brilliant position. If you had it said after 11 games, we'd be toured on 20 points, only lost once, you'd have bit the hand off, to be honest. So we're right there in the mix. It's about how you come out the other side. And as we were talking about earlier, the last time we came on a podcast, the following game was Rovers and Talent. We went 1-3-2. So hopefully the same again. But just to go back to your point, I have to say, Sam Todd's been unbelievable. I know Hickey won Player of the Month, and as we're getting the deserved plaudits as well. But I can't believe Sam Todd was let go by Derry. I watched him up here in the north when he played here at Lang. And then obviously at Derry, I think he's been absolutely first class. He looks like men against boys out there whenever I see him. So, yeah, the one thing is we probably were conceding too many goals last season and the season before, balls into the box. Now we look really solid at the back. As you mentioned earlier, it's about how can we just get a little bit more clinical in the final third.
Yeah, I suppose Santa had to make a move for Patrick McLean. That's
no comment.
The good thing is at the minute is that maybe that Derry haven't kicked on, Shells haven't. I know they didn't play the weekend, Shells, but they are a few points behind us. It does only take one doubleheader weekend, and you know there's a 6-point flip if that can happen. We would have looked at those last four games as to even dream about trying to win a league. It was taking 10 points out of those last four games.
Yeah,
come out with 3, which is really, really, really poor. Respond by any measure. Like, look, there's no better fixture, of course, than over the tournament round, but I think regarding the title, it's looking a bit ominous now, isn't it? Who's going to win it?
Yeah, look, Rovers, obviously, you can't look past them. Like, you have to, like, the jobs Stephen Bradley's done, and the youth he has coming through as well, which I don't think people have really mentioned too much, is frightening, the players he has in there, the O'Sullivans and Ozan Vuna and Noonan and that, like, along then with the mix of Jack Bourne and your Gaffneys and your Greens, and they look really, really strong. Pats, I thought, looked really, really decent as well, and then I watched them play each other, and Rovers just looked in kind of cruise control. But yeah, they're right, like, we're 2 points off Dundalk, then below that you have Shelbourne, I think, have a game in hand, and maybe Galway. So you look at the last run of games, like, really, Waterford at home, you would have liked to think it was probably bad time, and they got a thump in the night, the couple of nights before on the Friday, and he went completely defensive mode on the Monday in Daly Mount. Drogheda is notoriously a tough place to go. We always seem to struggle a bit up there, barring the last game of last season where we got a helping hand. And then obviously Sligo, you would have likened to think out of those four games have taken at least 7-9 points minimum, 9 I'd say at least. So going into this next run of fixtures is obviously going to be it's going to be tough, but we've already proven, like, against Rovers, if we get after them from minute one and get in their face. I know obviously it's different in Daly Mount. We're able to use the crowd behind us, and the pitch isn't as probably big as Talla. But it's going to take a big effort. Like, everything you've seen in this league for the last couple of years, Jordan, everybody is capable of beating and taking points off everybody on the day. There's no gimmies, there's no easy games. If you're not at it and you're not 100% right going into a game, 99 times out of 100, you're getting turned over. So, you look, as much as we're disappointed we've dropped points in the last few games, I've no doubt there'll be plenty of twists and turns with Rovers, Pats, and Dundalk, and everyone else that they'll have their period as well.
Yeah, so everyone's going to get their proper patch. Like I said, I think we're hoping, like, we think we're about under no illusion. Derry are going to come good at some stage of the season. Some stage of the season, they're going to probably win in between 6 and 10 games in a row. Like, with the team they had, it's going to click eventually. It's a matter of how far we can get ahead of them, or how far we can, or where we walk and we can do at that time. Like, they don't have Europe this year, so they have a free rein at the summer. Give it a go where you know Europe can become a distraction for the teams.
Absolutely.
Again, so I think we probably fluffed our chances in terms of maybe making a bit of leeway, giving ourselves a bit of a comfort zone. But we do have four fixtures coming up and start against the teams who we're going to be competing against. So I'm not sure where we lie mentally. I know we'd all love to dream a little bit, but maybe it was a nice kick of reality for the last couple of results.
Yeah, well, look, I think what we've shown and what we've proven is that we're more than capable of beating or better than anybody in the league. So we can't do it. We've shown it, and we've shown it in the first 5 games. We were superb, playing with a real confidence, real intensity, real purpose. Everything looked really good. Obviously, we've Europe to factor in as well, which will really test the squad depth. That's going to be tough, and the travel involved, depending on where we get. Probably we've been waiting for a European trip, knowing our luck we'll get Larne or Linfield in Belfast or something. So it won't be too bad in the bodies. But again, it's about using your whole squad then and really utilizing. We've seen it with Shelburne and Rovers in the last couple of years. It tested them to the limit. So yeah, you're right. You would have ideally, like, if you look at the league table and you take a couple of those points that we mentioned, you're 4 or 5 points clear at the top, or 3 or 4 points clear at the top at the least, going into this next round of games. The next 2 weeks would be really telling. Obviously, your way to Rovers and then away to Pats, followed by, I think it's a home game with Derry, isn't it? Yeah, really, really tough run of fixtures coming. So yeah, I think, we've also shelled away after Derry as well. So the next four
Shells at home.
fixtures. Oh, Shelds at home, apologies, yeah, on the 4th of May. So yeah, so that will really tell us. But I think the main aim is not to be too down in the dumps when we're on these runs, and not to be too high with the highs. Don't get too high and too low with the lows. So just take it one game at a time and see how we go. But we've shown we're more than capable of turning over any team in the league when we're right.
Yeah, and your head of recruitment are parted down. We are staring down the barrel of another transfer window. It's now coming to mid-April. Only a couple of months the window opens, and we do have that period where we could be in Europe up to probably realistically maybe 6 games. I think the obvious one is a striker. Is there anything else you can see? Maybe we can look at it, maybe pick away at.
Yeah, striker is the one we're obviously crying out for. Depending on the form of the wingers, we might need another winger, to be honest, or how Dale Rooney is. But a striker is the obvious one, isn't it, really? Like, the other side is, Pat Fennin's had a lot of stick from fans over the last while. I think the last couple of windows, the recruitment's been excellent, really. I think we have to be realistic in terms of the budgets that we have in comparison to some of the others we're challenging against. We're still nowhere near the top of the food chain in terms of the budgets that we have to offer, or sorry, for signing players. But yeah, I think probably a striker is the obvious one. Again, it's a really hard window. It's kind of like with me myself, and I'm recruiting from the League of Ireland in the January window. You're so, like, anyone we're kind of going for is going to be out of season a couple of months, unless we're signing League of Ireland players. If we're going up looking in the Northern League, or we're looking in the UK, 9 times out of 10, they're going to be out of season. So they still need that period to kind of nearly have a mini pre-season when we're in the thick of things going to the crunch end of a season. So it's always a real tricky window. Really, really tricky window to recruit in, for those reasons. Lads maybe have had a couple of weeks holiday, they've been ticking over in the gym, they haven't played a competitive match in 2 or 3 months, and then they get thrown in weeks training, 2 weeks training daily when coming off the bench and against a full strength Rovers or coming out of Europe or something. It's a tough ask. So it is a notoriously difficult window to recruit in on both sides. But yeah, I would say striker definitely. Again, as you mentioned earlier, we have to see how Dougie reacts now, and if he's back, and if he's going to stay fit. He's obviously, I'd imagine, he's been incredibly frustrated just like many of the fans, they're dying to see him out doing what he does best, and I'm sure he's the exact same, you know. And as he said, I think it'll take a little bit of a break off Colin Whelan. He's had a decent season last year. Back, that was probably his first real run without any injury. He's had two horrific injuries. A player I hugely admired and watched a lot of at UCD. Scary talent. But I just think he needs a bit of help. Hopefully with Dougie back now, it means we can freshen things up, rotate, or even play the two of them together. But I don't think seeing Hickey up front is going to be the last time we see it on like we did on Friday. I think that's something that, in fairness, I thought we could have done it in Drogheda as well, with a tight, narrow pitch. They've Conor Keeley there, you know, big mountain at the back as well. Just when we started getting a bit desperate, try and get a winner and get balls into the box, throw the big man up. He did a great job for Galway there last year. We have Keane Bourne and the likes on the bench that can slot in for him when you're pushing for an equaliser or a winner. So there's different options, and that's one thing I will say about the recruitment. There's a lot of versatility. There's lads that can cover a couple of different positions to help with that squad depth.
Yeah, I suppose we are looking ahead to Shamrock Rovers this Friday in the second Dublin derby between the both of us. I think we've got basically Bar Rooney and obviously McDonald. I just think it was a stupid red card. I felt even with the force tackle, I thought the force tackle went in, I thought to myself, he could be gone here. Just with the aggression he went in at, he got away with it. And he done the second one, I thought to myself, I felt like he fucking nearly done it on purpose. Obviously, maybe just a frustration at, but he's going to be a huge, huge loss for legs in that talent pitch on Friday.
Absolutely. And look, I played with Adam years ago at Shells before he went to England. He's always been the exact same. Like, I know you mentioned there, it was a bit silly, but that's him. That's him in a nutshell. As you said, energy, 100 miles an hour. Full intensity. That's him. That's what makes him and sets him apart from maybe someone else beside him in the middle, or Diallo or whatever. He's a different type. But that, you're dead right. That energy, that ability to cover ground, smash into somebody to set a tempo or a tone, turn over the ball, recovery runs, just everything. And he can play as well. I think we forget sometimes he's a lovely left foot and he can absolutely play. But you're dead right. Absolutely going to be a big loss. Obviously with Dawson coming back in, hopefully we don't feel it too much. And then, as I mentioned earlier, Diallo showed glimpses of his class. But again, pardon me, he's probably a few weeks off full speed. I think just Dawson coming back in will soften that blow of Adam being out. So it'll be interesting to see what way he goes.
To me, the problem, I think I looked at Diallo when you were saying he's not up to speed. To me, I think he gets run over very, very easy in midfield. I think people walk by him. Well, he's nearly jogging at full pace. I think that people are literally reason why my fear would be if he played in Tala. It's that Graham Bourke, Jack Bourne will run rings around him, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, that's probably what I'm saying. He looks a few weeks off, and like, and honestly, I can't stress enough the importance of a pre-season for a footballer. Yeah, and when I played myself, remember, if you were ever injured in pre-season, you're always feeling like shite. Yeah. I'm a few weeks now behind. I need to catch up. I'm way behind everybody else. And he's been pretty much injured since he signed for the club. You know, we have to remember. So he is going to take time. He's not an absolute speedster or powerhouse as it is. You know, he gets on it. He makes his play. He covers ground to an extent. But the high energy, as you said there, closing down, that's probably not his game. And it's certainly not his game now while he's working his way back to fitness. So, you know, you'll probably see Flores in there, I'd imagine. I think Mullen's back on Friday, isn't he?
It should be. Mullen back Friday, Dawson. What do you sit up here? What's your formation? Given Dougie's 80, 90%, say?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, it's hard to kind of presume if we're not in the training ground. We don't know how lads are, but I'd say for the size of the pitch and the space that will open up in terms of if we can stay in the game and transition quickly on the counter attack, I'd have Myers in all day long anyway, just for his pace. That will terrify them. And obviously in a big open pitch, if we can turn over the ball quickly and release him down the flank, absolutely. I think it's a bit of a, don't know whether you go with Parsons maybe on the right. I don't know what way he's thinking. Maybe if McDonald wasn't suspended, he puts Rossi out wide again because he knows what he's going to get. Parsons can be a little bit unpredictable in terms of he can turn it on and he can turn it off. I know for I think it was Sligo's first goal, I thought he was he could have closed down the cross a lot better. He kind of stepped off. It was a bit late, but there was no real intensity stopping the cross. So and closing the space. So I think that's going to be huge. Does he go a little bit more defensive minded? I don't know. But yeah, if Mullen's back available, I'd imagine he'd slot in. You'd push Flores, who's already played in the six he did against Shells, push him into the middle with Dawson and Rossi in the three, Myers on one side, Paris the other. And then I presume he'll go with probably Colin Whelan if Dougie's not able to go in from the start. If Dougie's fit and able, and say can give you an hour, maybe he'll start him. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's hard to know. Like he dragged Whelan off at about 15, 20 minutes ago. On Friday, I think maybe it was the case that he just needs a rest of some sort. Look, he's played basically 90 minutes every single game this season. He's not a machine, and again, he's had those two injuries, which I imagine has taken its toll on him.
Yeah, yeah,
that will basically take its toll throughout this whole season. Those two major injuries, obviously, had two ACL. So, for him to have done those 90 minutes back to back to back, I don't think we probably ever saw he'd get that in the bowl short. Being fully fit, just given obviously what he's gone through, but precaution to take him off. I'm not sure if that was to give him a chance or maybe it was a tweak of formation. I felt like Dougie was only playing as a left winger at some stages on Friday.
Yeah.
And Hickey was left on his own, which kind of didn't make sense in my head at times. You watch our two men in there, one of them to get the foot at the end of it, but to me, you can't change it too much to what we've been doing. I know you've got your two strikers are fit. And that's what he wanted to do this season. You've seen up in Sligo, you got the 4-0 win. The two of them were red hot. They were working well with each other. But I don't think you can go to Talla off the back of that now and go with it. I think you have to probably pack out in the field, try win your battles.
Absolutely. And I think you're dead right in the sense that we'll need to keep it tight. We'll need to obviously try and play to transition quickly and hit them on the counter-attack. I also didn't even mention that it was good to see Ryan Bourke coming back on Friday and getting a run out like another option on that side if Mullen's not fit. And just to mention on what you said with Dougie, he's been out so long and people have been dying for him to come back that maybe he went on and felt like, I need to be involved, I need to get on it, I need to make things happen. When really we just want him in the box and doing what he does best, and that's being a poacher sniffing around, scoring goals. So look, it's great that these boys are coming back at an important time. With the run of games that we have, absolutely everybody's going to be needed. But yeah, I'd really like us to try and keep it tight, hit them on the counter. Rovers obviously are full of confidence. They've got their kind of groove back. They were very good last week. I watched the game in Inchicore. So yeah, it's going to be a tough ask. Absolutely a tough ask, but shown earlier in this season, we are more than capable of going and turning them over. Absolutely more than capable of turning them over in Talla or Dalymount.
Yeah, it would be the most bold thing ever to go in those rotten run of results and then turn around in Talla, and there is no better team to turn it around there. Where will it be won and lost on Friday, do you think?
Yeah, just on what you're saying there about in terms of bowls, I think that's one thing I mentioned when you're asking about, do we kick on? Can we dream? And can we win the league? And I said it, I think, that Olam was standing beside me up in the draw there, and I was saying, when you want to make that next step from where we've been in the top three, top four, kind of on the periphery, to challenging and being serious challengers, is going to places like Drogheda and nicking a win. Going to Drogheda and whether it's a crap performance, but you get the 3 points. One of those, the performances where you just weren't at your best, but you came out with 3 points and happy days. They're the little differences, and they're the ones that we've seen in Drogheda. We couldn't find the answer. And obviously at Waterford and Sligo. In terms of on Friday night, again, as we said, we need to be really strong defensively. We need to be really organised. We do kind of expect Rovers, probably in their vein of form, to try and get at us. And, that's what I think. If we go out with the same kind of flat energy after we scored on Friday, and then the drop off in intensity and ball speed, it could be a problem. If we go with the same way we had them in Dalymount, where we were right after them from minute one, on the front foot, in their face, unsettling them, not letting them get into any kind of rhythms or flows, then we've already proven that, we can absolutely win the game.
Yeah, and as you said, if you can turn over the ball, the Talos the best pitch you can turn over the ball on. Like it leaves your acres of space in behind. You know, if he says if you can release Myers and Myers, from what I'm saying, and he's had probably about six or seven shots to 40-1 backers out in Talca Park were unhappy. I know he got three, but he can hit the ball. Like he's not one of those where he gets in on goal, you're thinking, oh, he's going to miss anyway. Like, he's found the target. It was a great finish on Friday. He's had a couple of chances of whisk wide, but we do need goals from elsewhere. I think Hickey's are Whelan didn't think Hickey's a top goal scorer with two. Rossi won, Dawson won, Myers won. We do need goals from elsewhere.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, you're dead on the money. Like the in Talca Park that night in the first game at Shelton, the nil-all draw. He was obviously his first start. I remember saying to my son Jack, I was saying, new lad, young lad, new to football. It was a real hostile environment, new to senior football, sorry. Hostile enough environment from the Shelds fans. And I was like, I wonder, we'll see what he's about, really. He's playing on the right wing in front of him, see how he's about and what he has. And I think in the first couple of minutes, he went on a run by three or four people. He shot from 20 or 30 yards into the keeper. But straight away, you're going to yourself, right, he's not short of confidence, this kid. He has a bit about him. And then I think there was a couple of spells in the first half as well, and the second half where he tracked back and Shell's winger had maybe 4 to 5 yards in him. He caught up with him, overtook him, took the ball off him and dribbled around. And you're right, he had about six or seven shots. And it's great to see someone like that so young, new to the league, new to the city, new to the club, new to senior football to an extent, showing that confidence. And others can feed off that. And, you know, as you said, Dawson coming back is that bit of the kind of United fans. He's the Bruno Fernandes, isn't he? Like, things go through him, he makes things happen, he spots things other people don't see. He spots runs, he can reverse, he can go long, he can go short, he can bounce, he can shoot off both sides. So him coming back and finding form would be great, but as we keep saying, we just need others to come to the party. I know there's been a lot I've seen on social media and around calling for Hugh Martin and that, like a young lad, and or even Marcus Strudz. Like, these are young lads as well, you have to be mindful of, and they will get their opportunity eventually. You know, the staff and the management are working with them on a daily basis, and it is a club with big pressure and big expectations, and you have to manage that with young lads as well, like, you know. So they will get their opportunities, they will get their chances, but as you said, some of the other senior players in there, they will step up. They've shown it in the first 5 or 6 games. And I've no doubt that this little blip we're on will come good, hopefully, on Friday.
Yeah, a couple of questions. I think, Mario, before we wrap up here, question is, Kasper Tarasky a shaker this season than last year? I think he's had moments of brilliance, and he's also had moments of calamity at times. You probably be able to give a bit more than me, but it's important our keeper is there in the right moments when we are on top in games. I think he probably has lapsed one or two times in important moments.
Yeah, and look, like I absolutely love Kasper. I think he's brilliant. I think he's right up there. I think he's the best keeper in the league last year. And it's just the nature of the beast of being a goalkeeper. You can make four great saves and you make one mistake and all people will talk about is the mistake you've made. I still think he's brilliant. Like, again, I think people are quick to judge in sense of Friday night, like the ball was blowing, the wind, sorry, was blowing a gale. That ball into the box. Like, obviously, he's going to be disappointed. We're all disappointed. The goals are completely avoidable. But I wouldn't have any other keeper in the league in over him. I still think he's superb. I wouldn't be quick to react here and say he needs to be out of the team or like I've read and or he's been a problem. I still think he's superb. He's a modern keeper. He's kept us in games single-handedly himself. He's made some great saves this season, big performances in games. And again, like I said, players are human. You know, they're not robots. They're not machines. They will have outside factors that will contribute to maybe forms and lapses of concentration. And we have to be realistic with that as well. And I'd still have Kasper in the goal all day long.
Absolutely. And do you think Kiki is better at distributing and isn't as effective up front? Probably answer that in a roundabout way throughout, but he is that option, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it's all about, like, when he is up there, how are we utilising him? It's more so than you can't really compare how he is at the back to how he is at the front. You know, at the back he builds the play up, you get him on the ball. We like to play out from the back, as we know, himself and Todd, and one of the midfielders will drop in, link play, be play out to one of the wing backs, get out that side, and he's a huge part of that. But obviously, that's normal. Like, how many times have you watched Monday Night Football where they hone in on Erling Haaland and how he touched the ball four times in 45 minutes with his two goals? Like, so, you know, we haven't seen enough of him to judge him as a striker. We've seen more than enough of him to judge him as a centre-half, and he's been superb. We've seen him last year at Galway. We know how effective he can be when used, but it goes back to the point you made already, Jordo, earlier about when he is up there, why do we still recycle the ball and go backwards and sidewards and look for the killer pass when you have a 6'5" or 6'6" fella in there that's unbelievable in the air? Just get the ball in on top and work off it. Play off the seconds, play a little bit more old school, which people don't like to do nowadays. But as he said to you, any league, any team, any game in the world, if you're losing a game of 4 or 5 minutes to go, 10 minutes to go, and you need a winner, the first thing you do is throw the big man up front and you get the ball up there. And why? Because it works. So when he does go up, and I'm sure that was the message, that they didn't send Pat Hickey up front, Stevie O'Donnell, that's or Alan Reynolds. They don't send him up front to say, right, lads, don't put the ball into him, just keep it on the deck. So there's a certain element of in-game management. The players need to kind of step up and take a bit of responsibility as well and say, right, we've two big giants in the box now. So will we go short or will you put it in and cause havoc? So I do expect us to see that throughout the season. Probably one of the big reasons why you sign him as well, again, versatility. He can play in the 10, can play up in the 9, centre-half. We've seen how effective he's been. He's been superb. And yeah, I just say the Bowers fans, like, not to get too doomy and gloomy with the run. It's kind of swinging roundabouts. We've proven what we can do. We've seen firsthand how good we can be. So we just need to get behind them, stay behind them, and it will come good again.
And then there's a question. Should we recall Rhys Brennan at some stage? Me, I think he's better off out on for season and getting his regular football rather than getting his 20 minutes here and there for us.
100% agree with you. Yeah, I wouldn't be recalling Rhys. The levels, the difference in the levels between the first division and the Premiership. I'm delighted to see him do well. I remember watching him out of Crumlin a few years ago. As he's coming through, really exciting talent. Really, really exciting talent. We've seen that in glimpses in a bow short as well. But a year of senior football in a men's environment where he's getting kicked, he's being stood on, he's being dragged back. And also, as you said, like, the way young players develop is by playing. And playing games, and if he's been thrown on here and there for 10 or 15 minutes of the odd start, he's not going to develop fully. So I agree with you, mate. I think a year out on loan will really stand to him. Probably I'd say if we had better options, probably you'd see Struts on loan as well. Maybe Hugh Martin, because he's still young, keep him in the environment he's in. Maybe next year you'll see him go on loan, or even from the summer till the end of the season. Keane Bourne's another one as well. He needs to play as well. And obviously, it's just unfortunate that obviously the two boys have been so good at the back. But if we do go into a three at any stage, I'd have no problem putting Keane in there. I think he's an excellent footballer. And I think he's proven that many a time as well.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens maybe the cabinet. And Strud, like Strud's during the middle of the midpoint of the season. I know they've got contracts in 2027. But then again, we're only ever one injury away from being back in the centre half position. But we're all kind of afraid of Mario. Last time we're on, the tide was turned. Your inspiration kept Reynolds in the job. So get probably wrap up the score prediction out in Tala.
Yeah, look, I know we said it last time, and as you said last time, we give the man time. You can see the football we're playing, we can see what we're trying to do. It will come good, you know, hopefully this season. Score prediction, I'm gonna go 2-1 Bows or 3-2 Bows?
I'm going to go 2-1 Bows as well.
Yeah, I think so. I can just feel it. I just think that we have it in us to go there and put on a big performance, big pitch. We've shown we're solid defensively, so we can not sit in, but you know what I mean, be defensively organised when they do advance and then hit them quickly on the counter-attack, release the two lads either flank that have paced the burn, and then just make sure we're in around them, supporting them. Hopefully we got 3 points and we kick on again.
Yeah, and I'll ask you, how do you think it all ends in Dynamo Park 2026?
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? It's all I've ever known, all you've ever known as a Bowers fan, obviously, growing up as a kid, coming down with my dad and then my mates after school, getting the bus down to Dorset Street and walking along the canal down. It's It's mad to think that it'll be last year. Even the bars, the mono bar and the members bar and the history that's in it is, it's sad. So just trying to get there as much as I can with me son Jack and my daughter Hallie, and really enjoy every game we can between now and the end of the season in Dalymount. And then excited for what's next. I don't really know. I don't think anyone really knows at the moment. There's loads of Chinese whispers and rumours. But yeah, excited as well for the future, but it'll be obviously sad. It'll be sad to see it go.
Absolutely, yeah. And how does it all end on the pitch?
Oh, in terms of results, where are we finishing in the league?
Emotional.
I was getting, I'm getting all teary-eyed here. That's what I thought you were going down. But in terms of where we finish the season, I don't know. Hopefully I'll have me back on before the end of the season and we can reevaluate it then. But I do see us challenging. I really do. As you said, we're starting to get bodies back. Ryan Bourke coming back. You've obviously Dougie coming back. I think at the back, we're really, really strong. Senna Mullen, been superb. Hickey, Power, Todd, Cian Bourne, as you mentioned, midfield. Diallo will get fitter as the weeks go on. You've Jordan there, we know his ball's true and true. Out wide, we've exciting young talents that, you know, we can get there. Rooney back, he's the next one. He's the big one. He's the assist man. He creates so much for us, the stats man, even from the set pieces. You miss him midfield. Obviously, we've Adam, we've Ross, we've Dawson. If you look at it, there's quality all over that group. There really is. And I'd imagine there's absolutely no doubt we're going to strengthen it in the summer, because we need to beat Europe. And that's obviously as well a good pull for signing players, that we have Europe to look forward to. So, I'm really, really optimistic, really positive, honestly, really positive. We've had a dip in form. We've had a dip in results. It's just getting back to those basics, what we're good at. High energy, high intensity, feeding off the crowd, making it a horrible place to come in Dalymount when we go away. Just being a little bit more clinical, a little bit more ruthless in that final third. And look, the sky's the limit. Like, we've seen this before. Rovers can be distracted by Europe. Shells can be distracted by Europe. I expect Dundalk to drop off at some point. They've been a breath of fresh air. And fair play to Kieran Kilduff and my old mate Wardy up there coaching. They're doing a brilliant job. But Pats will obviously stay there or thereabouts. But it's wide open, and that's the big thing for me, just to finish on. The last few years, Rovers haven't even been at their best. But it was whoever has been slightly more consistent than them. It's been wide open, and I think that'll be the same case again now. Once the European distractions come in, it's going to be wide open. So hopefully we can go one step further, or a couple of steps further than last season, and really challenge. Be exciting. Absolutely. For the last year in Dalymount as well. Be amazing. Imagine winning a league title. Incredible.
Yeah, absolutely, Mario. Thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure.
Thanks, McMillvers. Again, our sponsors, anyone looking to move around Dublin commercially or housing wise, get in touch. But as you do every time you finish with Mario, come on the fucking boss.
Come on the boss.